before I do that, you can go and pull that up, Mindy, if you want. This last year has been difficult, as it has for many of your lives. We had just coming off 2020. As far as numbers go, our church before the pandemic was running about 140 to 150 people every week, and the pandemic came, and we were down to weeks where there was nobody here and weeks where there was 20 people here. Then 2021 showed up, and we were very hopeful about what God would do, and God kind of brought some people back, and our numbers went up and down. But for the most part, during the year of 2021, we had about 90, 95 people that were here every week. Still a significant decrease in where we were. But I want to praise the Lord for this 19th year, because I would call it, we've had some years that have had better things happen. You know, I think we had 4 or 5 salvations, a couple baptisms in 2021, which is still great. We've had other years where we've had a lot more. We've had other years where we've done some things, but I just want to brag on you in a pandemic year a little bit. I want to call it a small but mighty church that we've been this last year. And I want you to look at some of the pictures, and I'm going to talk about each one of the pictures very quickly, and then I'll dismiss the kids. You guys can head out. Let's go ahead and get it up, and maybe Kim, if you can get the lights, we'll go through it. So this is our 19th anniversary. We started in a coffee shop, as Wade said, and we had 33 people there that very first day, and it has been a joy. This last year has been a joy, even though it's been a roller coaster ride of up and down. Let's go to the first one. Here's some things that have happened. Last year, we continued on supporting our Shekinah orphanage in India. We support 8 kids there every month. Our church sends $50 for each one of those kids. That totally clothes, feeds them, educates them, $50 a month. And we've been doing that. This particular picture is our elders got together and said, we want to send some extra money because they got shut down during the pandemic. And so we did it. And so they sent us pictures of what they did with the money. And so each one of those pictures is somebody who, because we gave, they benefited very from your gift over in India. You know, miles and miles and miles from our church, God used Impact Christian Church. Next slide. We had started our youth band called Impact United, and just so proud of those guys. And they have done an incredible job. And we're hoping and praying that this next year you'll see some more of them. We don't want to burn them out, but we want them to find joy in serving Jesus by doing it, leading worship. And so we're so thankful for that. That happened last year. Let's go to the next one. We got a new mower in the middle of a pandemic. We got a new mower. You guys raised over $5,000 for a new mower. We have 2 mowers now, and we have 2 folks that faithfully do that every week during the summer. Come in and save us thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Last year, in a down year, we were able to purchase a new mower. Last year, we were able, in a down year, we sold our bus. We raised funds again to buy a new van new 2000. It only had 55,000 miles on it, and it has been used like crazy this last year. We thank God for that, and we thank God for you. In a small but mighty way, God continues to use our church, even though we're not like busting out the numbers. Next one, youth camp. We took a break in 20, and then we came back. We had 2 what we call weeks of camp, and it was a little bit down, but we still were able to have it. So many people went down and worked and helped during the bring the camp together, and we're going to, Lord willing, be back this summer with a lot of things going on there at the camp, and so I give praise for that. The next one. We were able to get Phil Porter or Santa Claus there, it looks like, on a tractor. He took care of our new gravel parking lot. We got several loads of gravel, and we were able to park our buses and vans and different things out there, and it now is not such a mud pit for our mowing crew and things like that. So we're so thankful for that. Last year, able to do that again. Just a small but a mighty thing again. Next one. With the Hub grand reopening was back in July, and we went to every week. We were doing, prior to that, we were doing it just once every other week. And so we went to every week, and the need has been there consistently. You've consistently given. As Wade said, that building basically is paid, or not basically, it is paid off. The only thing we pay for is utilities, and you guys do that every week. You bring in the funds. We just started a new relationship with Gleaners this week and got them coming on board, and so we'll be able to get food from Gleaners. And they're going to deliver it. That's incredible. So another blessing, small but mighty. You see, this is our heat getting put in. One of the cool things, not for the summer, but for the winter, is having heat in the hub. And we were had a donation of that. Several of you sitting here, I'll leave somebody out, but several worked together for months to get the heat in. We had to lay in the pipe. We had to install it. That all happened. And none of that cost us anything. It was all donation except to get the thing finally installed inside. Next. This is the 55 plus group started up, and I believe I would say for at least six different times we've met this last year. We've gone on trips, we've met here at the church, and we're looking forward to that continuing on this year and talking about going some different places and things like that. So in an off year, the 55 plus, a small but mighty thing happened up. Next. We started the Operation Christmas Child. 45 boxes were donated. Never had done it for years. I think we did it about 10 or 12 years ago. You guys rose to the occasion. Hundreds and hundreds of dollars you gave sent all over the world. Small but mighty gifts. There's a Christmas tree standing there. That also you did what we call our angel tree. The angel tree, I think we had 20 kids this year that were right here, local, not in our church, but local, that received Christmas because you gave. Another small but mighty, really cool thing. Here we go. We had a ladies' retreat in a down year. 25, thank you, Diana. Know how she feels. So down at the FFA Center, we were blessed. Patty got us a great deal. We were able to go down there and have a wonderful ladies' retreat on an off year. 25 ladies came together, worshiped, and we're taught. So what a blessing. Next one. Our Easter egg hunt. We didn't do it for a year. We didn't do it. It was a big thing. We had 50 kids out there looking for eggs. It was awesome. Next one. First pizza sale in 2 years. That doesn't sound like anything, but it does for the missions team, because what that does is it allows us to get together and have teamwork. It allows us to have to raise money. I think we raised almost $3,000 for our missions trip this next year, the next year coming, and we're getting ready to start our missions pizza 2 weeks from now. So that was really cool, small but mighty. Our youth group, junior, senior high youth group, continues to meet every Sunday night. Solid, strong 18 to 22 kids that come. They have a snack shack that a bunch of ladies and guys work every Sunday night tirelessly. Big, but small but mighty things going on. And we're getting ready to renovate the kids. We've almost got everything painted. We're getting ready to do some decoration. We hung our new TVs. We got some more TVs going up, hopefully in the next week or two. Our carpeting's going to be ripped out, and we're going to be putting in new flooring in there all through the whole thing, getting ready for, we believe, what God's going to send more kids for us, small but mighty, again, in an off year. Really, really cool. And then we had our family fun night, where we always have fireworks and food, and the silly safari was there, and all the different fishing thing. It was an incredible night. Over 250, maybe 300 people that were there. What a blessing, a small thing, but a mighty thing. And then we went to Waverly, Tennessee, a missions trip. And again, it just blew our people away. And that went to see the devastation. We're getting ready to go again to Mayfield, Kentucky at the end of the month. We're probably going to go back there. But again, in an off year, in a year where others would be struggling, we continue to go out and be the hands and feet in the community. And then we had our Christmas at ICC, and it was just a fun month to get together, and we did some silly sweaters, and we did a breakfast, and just had a really, really good time, the Christmas bazaar, and we did those things in an off year. And so we praise the Lord for that. Isn't that a great smile? I love that. that happy first anniversary, ICC. We give yourselves a nice big hand for a small but mighty church. Yeah. Thank you so much. Kids, go ahead and go, and that'll be our, we'll let the kids go. Change out. This is not going to work. So let's pray, and I'll try to get out of the small but mighty mindset and think about what God has in hand for us today. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you that we can come in the midst of the storms. Many people in here, God, today are just going through storms, and I just pray that you'll somehow do what only you can do, is take what I put out here in just a few minutes, and that would be of you, and that it would do a work through your Holy Spirit. We just pray for miracles today for many people. We pray for a miracle for Mike. We pray for a miracle for not for so that we could brag, but so that you may be, we could brag about you and your goodness and your love and your mercy. We just give these next few minutes to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're in a series, and I was really having a hard time with the last part of the series because it was supposed to be disappointment in God. And so I'm going to weave that into my talk today, but I'm in the lesson, but I really, that's not the central hub of it. I kind of changed gears a little bit. I would say I'm still going to talk about disappointment, but I want to ask a central question or one central word. So if you'll say this word with me together, and maybe at home, let us know you're watching on that great phone that we've got up there. We're so thankful for that. Say this word together. Everybody ready? Here's our lesson is today. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Why? 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 One more time.
Why?
Yeah, why? Why? Have you ever doubted the goodness of God? I know as a Christian, we're not supposed to ever doubt. We're not supposed to have those kinds of things. We should always have faith in the goodness of God. But I wonder if any of you, like me, have ever doubted in a moment. When you're experiencing something that didn't seem fair, when you're experiencing something that doesn't seem right, when you thought, where are you, God? What are you doing? This doesn't feel good right now, Jesus. It could have been that you were betrayed by a spouse. It could have been you were left from a loved one, or maybe a loved one is in a process of you just can't get along right now. Maybe you were asked the question, God, why don't you take away this health issue that I've got? I got this incredible health issue, and it just, no matter what I do, it doesn't get better. I'm still battling. I'm battling with depression. I'm battling with despair. I'm battling with fear. Why won't you take it away? Why? Why? And see, why, if you go there very much, it can tear you up. It can tear up your insides. It can mess up your world. And it can lead you to not just despair and disappointment. It can lead you to a time where you begin to doubt everything that's real. And you begin to doubt that God is really good all the time. You begin to think people like Dave Baker that get up there and stand and says, God is good all the time. You're full of crap, Dave. You're full of crap. And it'd be really easy to say that when life is coming at you and it's not going the way you thought it should go. Today we're going to look at Scripture. And I want you to discover that evil and suffering is very, very central to the story of the Bible. It's central to the story of the church today, of you sitting here. It is so central. It's so important. And I pray that some of you can receive what I'm saying. I pray that this will encourage some of you as we talk today. I'm going to look on the screen, and here's our big thought for today. Our big thought is this. I believe it should come up. Why did God let it happen? Let's go below that and then we'll come back. Yeah, here it is. Christianity makes sense of, gives meaning to, and offers a solution for the evil and the suffering we experience. I want you to read that again just softly to yourself. Just take a moment and read that to yourself. Get it in your toolbox and hold on to it for just a second. Now, Mindy, you can go back up to that others. My goal is to show you today that being a follower of Jesus makes sense. It is not a time to bail ship when bad times come. It is not a time to get mad, although it's okay if you do. It's all right to grieve. It's okay to say, this doesn't seem right, this doesn't seem fair. But we can't go down that hole too much. We can't go down that hole very much at all. My goal again is to make you see that Jesus, following him, makes so much sense. As you read through the stories of the Bible, there's so many cases, and I could tell you 50 right off the top of my head, but I picked three today, three that are very kind of well known. The one is the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament. He's known as the weeping prophet, and he was always crying, and he was wailing out to God in grief because the unrepentance of the people, and he would say to God, God, why aren't people turning to you? That was the cry of his heart. He was so broken up. The Bible, in fact, that he got a local name of being the weeping prophet, because that's all he did was cry. You look at David in the Old Testament, a man described after God's own heart, so in love with God, so worshiping God and trusting God again and again and again. God, where are you? God, are you listening? God, do you even care? Those words came out of David's mouth. The same guy who was said he was a man after God's own heart. So it's okay. It's okay when they come out of your head and out of your mouth. The most interesting and powerful personal message to me is one in the Old Testament from a prophet named Asaph, A-S-A-P-H, Asaph. If you ever heard of him before, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you're in for a little bit of a treat. He was a worship leader like Dave. He was the temple guru. Everybody that showed up came through him, and he would lead them in worshiping the Lord in songs. And then he would have these incredible worship times with the people. And so everybody loved him so much. And so we see his story, and we see his name mentioned 12 times in the Old Testament. So it means that it was a pretty important story. It means, it shows us that he was a pretty important guy in the way that God showed up. If you look at Psalm 73, if you can skip to that, Mindy, and then I'll come back to our questions. Psalm 73, 11 to 14 says this. This is him talking, by the way, that great worship leader. That worship leader that everybody loved and thought was so cool. Look what he says. What does God know? They ask. Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. And then he gets real personal. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. Can you relate to him today? I want to wrestle with some real weighty questions today. And I want to tell you up front, I don't have any easy answers. Not really clean and clear cut. Now you can go back up to those questions, Mindy. Sorry, my lesson kind of went all over the place. The most common question, and there's a couple of them I want to talk about, is before we get into the Word. The most common question on everybody's lips is, if God is good, if God is loving, then why does he allow his people to suffer? Why does he allow those he calls his to suffer? To answer that question, if God is loving, why would he allow suffering? I'll give you the answer, and I want you to think, why would God allow suffering? The answer is this. If love is a choice, suffering is a possibility. Let me say it again. If love's a choice, Suffering is a possibility. See, if it's possible to love, it's possible to hurt. Only if you have the ability to love do you have the ability then to get hurt. And I don't know how to explain it other than logically to say this. We have to understand that the only way that love is possible is to have a choice to choose to love somebody, to love God. In other words, if you have the ability to choose love, you have the ability to what? To choose hate. And you can hate God. And you can hate him when bad things happen. If you have the ability to choose what's right, you have the ability to choose what's wrong. And that's a gift. That's a gift. Doesn't sound like it, but it's a gift. And that's what makes evil suffering possible. That's why there's evil. So why did God give us free will then? Why did he do that? And the answer is this: because that's the only way that love is possible. Why did he give me free will? Because he doesn't want robots. He wants you to have the ability to be able to choose him. See, if he didn't give us that ability, then we couldn't choose to love him. Nobody wants to be made to love somebody else. Nobody wants to say, you must love me. You ever got any traction with that? Not me. See, if he didn't give us that ability to choose, then we can't choose to love him. He didn't want a rock. He didn't want a robot. I love you. You are wonderful. So unfortunately, church, sin leads to pain and suffering. Because when we choose to love, we choose the ability to have evil in our lives. So sin leads to pain and suffering. Now, follow along with me. Let me pull you along a little bit longer. So far, for God to remove evil and suffering, that's what we should pray, right? God, just remove it all. What he has to do is he has to remove us or our freedom to choose. You ever thought about that? He has to remove us or he has to remove our freedom to be able to have that choice to love. Now, here's a question that most people don't ask when it comes down to this. And the question is this: Jeff, if there's no God, who decides that there's evil? If there's no God, because that's what the conclusion then comes when people say, he let it suffer, then where is he? He doesn't care about me, therefore he doesn't exist. He let me go through this. He doesn't exist. Think about this. If there's no God, then who decides that there's evil? I'll give you a couple of quick examples. How many of you have a brother or sister? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you love your brother and sister? How many of you ever got in a fight with your brother or sister? All right. Yeah. Okay. Now you can put them down. So here's the question. If in that brother and sister relationship, if you had no parents, imagine that. What if there was absolutely no parental influence and there was no rules? Then who would be there to say what's right or what's wrong? You, as a kid, figuring out, whoa, don't want that. In other words, there has to be authority, and there has, in order to be a standard, and that authority, the Bible tells us, is God. He is the authority, and he is the one who sets the standard. If there is no God, there is no moral point of reference. There is nothing by which we can hang our hats on. So who determines what is good or evil? God does. So if we're honest and we look at this issue, we cannot use the presence of evil and suffering as proof that God does not exist or that he doesn't care or he's not hearing what I'm saying. Please follow along. Are you following me? Say yes, maybe a little bit. You follow? Okay. All right. Some people will say, well, if you suffer, that means that God doesn't love you. If you suffer, God doesn't love you. What if we do understand this, that suffering is an evidence, is a lack of love. It's not saying that God doesn't love us. For example, I've had a lot of surgeries in my life. I've had surgeries to repair my heart. I've had surgeries in my kidneys to get kidney stones. And take it this way. I don't believe it. My surgeon hated me. But you know what? My surgeon caused me a lot of freaking pain. It hurt. Horrible. To the point I'm going, why did I do this? But you know, my doctor, my surgeon, gave me what he gave me with the vision that something better was coming. Something better is coming. You've had kids. And you ever disciplined your kids? Why did you do it? Did you do it because you hate your kids? No. You did it because you loved them. It's because you love your kids, you discipline, and you bring some form of punishment into their life. The presence of pain isn't a lack of love, church. Listen, the presence of going through suffering isn't a lack of love. In fact, oftentimes, the presence of real pain is the evidence of God's uttermost love for you. Jeff, that's raw. I don't know if I can take that right now. I understand. That raises another question. And this is the ultimate question. And I've talked about this before up here. And I have a little bit of an answer. Why do good people suffer? Why do good people suffer? It's a question of the age. Everybody wrestles with it. Every one of us wrestles with it. Why does someone who didn't do anything wrong have something so bad and so tragic happen in their life? This is difficult to answer because most of us are not going to hear what I want to say, what I'm going to say. But whenever we ask why did bad things happen to good people, we're not talking about us. We're just not. I've got a bad heart. I mean, I think bad things about some of you. My heart leads me to do some bad things. I've hurt a lot of people, and I've done some sinful things in my life, and so have you. I've said things that I shouldn't say. I've made people feel ways that they should never feel. I've done things that I wish I hadn't done. In fact, none of us who've ever lived have truly been good people. There's only one. He got crucified. He got put on a cross for doing nothing. He got put on a cross for doing nothing. Truthfully, something bad only happened to someone good one time. And think about it. He volunteered for it. Here I am, God, send me. After a lifetime of this perfect intimacy with his father, he says, I'll go. I'll go. I'll be separated from you. And I'll take the sin of the world and I'll go and I'll do it in their place. Even Jesus said in Matthew 27:46, my God, why? 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 Where'd you go? Feels like you left me. God, why have you forsaken me? Why, God? Jesus, God's own son, said those words. So why does God allow that? Why doesn't God do what he could do in your situation? Could he take you out of the situation you're in and make it completely better? Absolutely, 100%. Don't ever doubt that. Never, ever, ever, ever doubt that. Will he? That's a different case. That's a different case. Why did someone do what they did and God didn't stop it? The answer is, I don't know. But the answer is not this. The answer is not that God doesn't love you. Please listen. It's not that God doesn't love you. Because Scripture is ridiculously clear when it talks about how much Jesus loves us. Time and time. I'm not even going to quote the Scriptures today. You know them. You can quote them. It's just when the water comes up over the boat and you're sinking, it's the last thing you think about that he loves you. What? You don't love me. You're allowing me to sink. You're allowing my boat to be put in a place that I never wanted to be put. Why did God do that? Why did God allow his son to come and take our place? Because he loves us so much. He took our misery, our present misery, our past misery, and our future misery, and he takes it all away. And he did it for one very simple reason. God knew something better was coming. He knew something better is coming. Sometimes it takes a loss to overcome to find that we have had a victory. And I know this is raw. I know this is raw today. The Bible says, why do you have a hard time? The Bible doesn't ever say that you're not going to just have horrible days. The Bible never says that you're going to be stretched, that you're not going to be stretched beyond what you thought was possible. These things that are in front of you are the unthinkable. He never, ever says that, not one time. The Bible says that one day, though, we're all going to die and we're going to rise. And those who have free will and free choice to follow Jesus, to know him, to serve him, to love him, they will meet him in eternal glory. And one day, time will be no more, and you'll never have to worry about it again. Sometimes something better's coming. Revelation 21, verse 4 says this: after the earth is gone, there's a new heaven, and there's a new earth. And Jesus reigns in every form and every fashion from the throne, that God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Every tear. There's another verse in Psalms that says that every tear that you've ever cried, God keeps in a bottle. He keeps in a bottle. And he knows exactly what you're going through. And he may, for some of you, he may have like bottles and bottles and bottles of tears. But he's got your tears. You see, when it's easy to conclude when the mess hits the fan and it's all over you and all you smell is stink and all you smell is bad, it's easy to conclude that God is not good. It is very easy to conclude that God is not good. But when you walk with Jesus, like most of you in here, and when you feed on his word and you learn to trust his presence, any given moment, it may not feel good. It may feel like the worst thing in life, but you're able to see his faithfulness. And you conclude with Dave Baker, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Remember that guy, Asmuth? The guy who thought a lot of things were supposed to be afraid to say out loud, he said a ton of things that most of us don't want to say out loud because we're kind of afraid that we'll get struck dead. In a very important way, this guy who said, listen to what he said. Did I keep my heart for nothing? Did I do all those good things for other people for nothing? I've got trouble all day long. The morning brings nothing but pain. This is what he said after walking with God in Psalm 73. Until I entered the sanctuary of God. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. That's what we need to do. We need to just hope and pray that we're going to enter into that sanctuary. So I came to tell some people here today that the problem of evil and suffering is not contrary to the story of the Bible. It matches up perfectly with everything in the book. It is central to the story of the Bible, and more than anything else, Christianity makes sense. It gives meaning. It offers solutions for evil that we experience and that you're going through and that you've been through and that you're going to go through. So for those of you that are suffering right now and you're hurting, what I want you to know is God hurts with you. He is in huge pain right along your side. And what may feel like the worst thing in your life, it may be the worst thing. There's going to come a time, a week, a month, years, that you can look back and say, I wouldn't want anybody else to go through that. I don't ever want to go through that again. But somehow God got me through it. God's using it. God's using it. That's big. That's huge Christian talk. That's hard to back up. So if you're hurting and you're wondering where's God, just remember, you're living in the not there yet. You're living in the not there yet. Somebody needs to write that down, because that's what you're doing. You're living in, I'm not there yet. I'm not what Jeff just said, because I don't know if I'll ever get there. I'll never get there. You're crazy, Jeff. I understand. But the good news is, by the grace and the power and the glory and the goodness of God, something better is coming. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Let's pray as the band comes. So, Father, I pray specifically on behalf of those who are hurting right now. Those that may be in this room, those that are watching online. God, I can't even imagine the weight and the pain of what some of the people in here are experiencing right now. God, my heart is heavy. And God, I know that you hurt when your kids hurt. And God, as a human being with a limited mindset, I don't even attempt to offer a reason why. But I cry out to you with the church here today. I cry out to you, God, even at times like this right now. I cry out to you and I say, God, would you do what you can do? And then give me the strength. Give me the courage to do what it is you want me to do as we walk through whatever it is that we're walking through. God, we know that you're not going to answer all of our questions, but we know that today, please let us know that something better is coming. This is not all there is right now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you would like to spend some time with God, I encourage you to do that. Sorry, thank Dave, good catch. I encourage you to do that during our ministry song. If you want to get on your knees and you want to pray, you can do that. We're going to have a prayer time at the end. I don't want you to think we are not going to do that, but I want you to just pray and whatever God's got on your heart today, whatever you walked in here with, let this be a time that God meets you. He knows some of you today are lonely. He knows today some of you are fearful. He knows today that some of you walked in here and you don't know what to do about something. But let him meet you right where you are and see what he does. Let's walk through it together, church. We are a small but mighty group of people. And I believe in the power of being together. I believe in the power that God's people get together and they pray. I believe in an almighty God, that no matter when we hurt or why we're hurting, he wants to meet us. He cares about every tear.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born in his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy and whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Praising my Savior,
praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Let's just continue in a time of prayer. I'm going to give you a moment or two, just silence, and I'd like you to pray specifically for Mike. I'd say that today is a big day for the Kenny family. Patty, is there anything that you want to say? I don't want to. Okay, we'll do that. We'll do it. Come on up. Kelsey, would you go back in my drawer and get my oil out of my top right drawer, please? Come on up and sit right down here. I'm going to have some people that would maybe come up and just put hands on Patty, and then we'll anoint her. We're praying for a miracle. The doctors, I'm going to paraphrase as best I can. Doctors have said they've done about what they can do. They've gone all the way to the wall on this, and I think there's some great doctors and some great nurses over there that have been taking and tending to Mike and Patty and to their family. And I think that they have just done an incredible job. But I think they came to a point yesterday where they just said that this is now in God's hands. So that's what we're doing. We're putting it in God's hands. That's the best hands he can be in. That's the best hands. And we're not going to pray as people who don't believe. We're going to pray that God does something today. I'm going to pray, and then I think my oil will be here by that time. If you're sitting here, if you're at home, please just pray for our sister. And here comes the oil. Thank you so much. That's perfect timing. Patty, now anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's covering over you. God, do what only you can do. Jesus, we just come to you right now as people that are so small, but you are so mighty. And God, in our smallness, we just have large belief. We have large faith right now that you can do a work. And so we're praying for a miracle. We're asking for that first. And God, we just pray you'll be with Patty today. Pray you'll be with Mike. That he's in that room, God, that you'll just do this thing today. You know, and we trust you. I just pray for this family, as they surround her and as they take care of her. And everywhere they go, God, today, just let them know that they're people standing in the gap for them. Just pray for Mike, God. Dear Jesus, just do a work in Mike today. We've been praying for a month now, God. And we believe that our prayers have got Mike to this point. We believe that our prayers, you've heard, and it sustained Patty, and let her put one foot in front of the other every day, because, God, I can't imagine how tired she is, how worn out she is. But, God, we just pray for your Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't you guys just sit right there? There's some other people that we want you to pray for today. I want you to continue to pray for Bob Shelley. He broke his foot and then got COVID and while he was in the hospital. And so he's at Methodist. And so be praying for Bob and move forward with him. There are so many people in our church this morning, as I said at the beginning, that are struggling and with this virus, but some are coming through it just simple and others aren't. There's no rhyme or reason why it is what it is, but that's what it is. So keep praying for that. Please pray for our healthcare workers. I think they're getting overwhelmed. I've been in the hospitals a lot this last couple weeks, and you just see a lot of tiredness in people. Our healthcare system is really good in America, and it's probably the best there is. And they're hurting. And so be praying for them. And we have several healthcare workers here and people that are in the hospitals. So be praying for them and all those that take care of us as we get sick, because it's a long process. So be praying for that. Let me word a prayer for that, and then we'll close with just a couple quick announcements. Jesus, we've been talking to you for a month, better part of a month, about Mike. We've been begging you. We've been pleading with you. We've been beseeching you. Every word I can possibly think, God, we've laid out to you, and we've asked you to do what you can do. And so today, God, we just put Mike in your hands. And you tell us, you show us. It's hard to say that, but God, that's what we do. We put him in your hands. He was there anyway. Somehow we think we have control of this, and God, we just have nothing. And then we pray for all those that are struggling right now and those that are here today, God, that we've not talked about anything that's going on in their life. Would you meet them, and would you do a work in them too? Pray for all those that are sick. We pray for our healthcare workers. We pray for our church in this season of our growth, God, that you would not let anything stymie what you've been doing this last year. You continue to let us be small but mighty, and we are thankful for that, and we give you the praise for the people in this room and the people that are watching online and the people that have been a part of the history of this church to make it go into 19 years. What a blessing. What an incredible blessing it's been to be their pastor, to be their friend, to walk through them with times of joy, and to walk through them with sorrow. Just pray a blessing on our church today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Kim, if you can get the lights real quick. A couple things that you need to know about. We're going to kind of put everything on I would call it the extracurricular things. We're going to put that on hold for a couple weeks until this thing kind of goes. It seems like it's going quick. But we're going to start youth groups and life groups probably at the end of the month. We were going to start a little sooner, but we're going to suggest that everybody just kind of hangs out and stays, It just seemed, we just don't know. We just don't know anything about it, but we do know that God has got a plan and a purpose for what's going on. So we're going to kind of put everything a little bit on pause. We are going to have a prayer breakfast next week. If you can be a part of it, you'd like to pray, be more of a praying part of the church, come here at 9 o'clock in the back. We're going to have some food, and then we're just going to pray and kind of help you get more involved in how can I pray for the church, We've already got groups of people praying for different things in the church, and so we're excited about that, but we want to increase that a little bit more. So that's next week. And then the hub opens back up this Tuesday again, and our need is great. So if you have some food you can bring, please do that. We're going to start getting some more food this week. I think Food for the Friend is this week. There's a lot of stuff going on, but we're just kind of moving it back a couple of weeks to see what goes on here. But we're going to continue to meet together here with whoever comes together, and hopefully online we'll get that back working. But we're so glad that you've been a part of our service today, and pray God's blessing on you as you leave here today. And we'll let you know what's going on today, as this is going to be a big day. And we'll see what God does today. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.